Welcome to Movie Banter.
I'm
John Sands.
I'll forget it. Oh. I'm frightened. No, I'm John Sands.
I'm Paul Grenzer. And the fact that you could hear no female husk means that Jenny isn't here. Is that the word?
I don't know. Sounds like there should be a knot involved. Yes, no, we are Jenny-less.
No, there's no Jenny. No Jenny this week.
Yes. But we'll cope somehow.
So it's all boys' movies.
Hey,
all the way home. We've got, you know,
it's quite boy-y.
Yeah, we've got Real Steel, which is, you know,
men with robots
shooting each other. Yeah. We've got The Debt, which is war.
Right. So I only barely know what that's about, but we'll come to
find out.
We've got Red State,
which is Kevin Smith and
fighting and guns
a bit,
and
kind of, yeah.
Horror-y thing.
And we've got
Johnny English, which is, more
fun for all the family.
Well, yes, that is true. But yeah.
So, women allowed to that one.
Yes. But none of the others.
No.
Don't let us catch you going there.
Let us begin with the film.
Well, I'd say start with The Debt, just because I'm intrigued, because I vaguely know what it's about, but not really.
It's about a debt.
Right, yes. Brilliant. Next film.
It was made, actually, at least 2 years ago, maybe three years ago. And I believe the story was that the studio had some trouble, and the studio was going to be shut down or something, and sold to another studio or whatever. And so they sat on this film for ages. And just couldn't release it because they had no means to do it. But it's a film. Two words.
Two words. First word. Sounds like
the. It's a film in two time periods, really, because it starts off in sort of fairly modern day Israel.
Right.
When we see Helen Mirren.
Oh, yes.
And Tom Wilkinson. And they are at a dinner, and there's a big sort of celebration for a book that's been written about an event that happened in the past.
Right.
And this happened in... I said it was a war film at the start. It's not actually a war film as such, because in the bit in the past, it's actually set in, I believe it's the 60s.
Okay, so sort of a post-war.
But it's East Germany, and in the same way that The Lives of Others feels kind of post-war-y, it's under the East German sort of thing. It does feel, you know, you've got soldiers parading and they're shooting at people who try and escape over the border sort of thing. So it does feel very much like the spectre of war is hanging over it. And the stuff set in the 60s are really about these three Mossad agents.
Right.
Played in the younger version by people such as Sam Worthington.
Oh, yes.
And Jessica Chastain, I believe her name is.
Oh, name
is in Tree of Life. And they are, the younger versions of Helen Mirren, Tom Wilkinson. And they are trying to capture and bring back to put on trial in Israel an evil German doctor, Dr. Death sort of thing, who was experimenting on people and, of course, one of the big nasty guys.
Yes.
So they tracked him down, and it's just about getting him. And things don't quite go according to plan, so they end up, a lot of the film, really with him in their captivity in a flat, and they can't go anywhere. He's sort of stuck with them. So it's flitting. Then it rounds off at the end, back in present day again with Helen Mirren and so on. So there is enough stuff in both time periods to make both sort of equally weighted, really.
Okay.
And it sort of hangs together. I did enjoy it. I was carried along by it.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the end, it felt a bit like a TV movie towards the end. I think that some of their choices of plot direction mean that. Exciting as it was, and it felt like an adventure romp and moments of peril, but because of it, almost felt like it was on the one hand wanting to make a point, and you felt like a lot of the films that come out of that sort of time period often feel quite worthy, and if it's based on a true story, you think yes, there's a good point, there's a worthy point there, but at the same time it wanted to make a B movie,
right,
which was all sort of a bit hey action peril sort of stuff, and I felt the two sort of collided a little bit uneasily, but. Overall, pretty good going. And a fine cast. And, you know, Helen Mirren getting a bit action-y occasionally as well.
Well, so, as she did in Red, of course.
Did in Red, as well.
She's clearly future action heroine.
She's kind of, you know, got a thought, right now's the time. You know, forget those previous decades. I want to do it now. So.
And why not?
Yeah, generally a thumb and a half up, I'd say, for that one.
See, I mean, Hollywood-esque person that I am, in terms of my taste, not my lifestyle, by far. But, because It seemed a little bit heavy going, and the fact if there is some slightly more action. So yeah. that slightly steers me more towards it.
Yeah, it might be let up. Yeah, it's true. It's not as heavy going as it could have been.
Right.
It could have been a lot worthier, I think. And but then it may have been a better film for it, but would have had less custom.
Yeah.
And equally, it could have gone more down the B-movie route and lost a lot of the more sort of the Spectre of War type stuff and Doctor Death type things. They could have...
So it treads an uneasy middle ground, but yeah, just so about...
Some scenes you think, oh yes, makes us think and makes us sad and stuff like that and stirs the heart, but the next scene is, hey, there's guns and they're racing and it's a big chase.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, kind of, two unhappy bedfellows.
Yes. That's. I think I should break up, really.
It's a different film, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, worth a watch.
That's
the debt.
Fair enough.
I don't know more to say on that, so, you know.
Fair enough. See, far more straight down the line was Real Steel.
Oh.
Which, I had low expectations of it. I mean, I wasn't expecting anything brilliant. But there was a bit of an interview with Hugh Jackman where he's talking about the effects involved and saying, oh, you'll believe that they're real, robots are real, and you'll really care about the fights. Mm. And I was there thinking, yeah, that's just marketing comfort, and you won't really. Turns out I actually kind of did.
Right.
Yeah, it's... I mean, the premise is just Hugh Jackman and his long... Well, is a son he had with an ex-girlfriend, who then he had no interest in the son, so he went to live with her, and that was fine. And then she dies, and the son is going to be adopted by her sister, but Hugh Jackman sort of has to look after him for a little bit.
Mm.
And he is a robot boxer, because in the future this is a thing.
Right.
So he controls robots. And so he and the son bond... despite initially clashing, and he's trying to come back from... I mean, he has a robot which gets destroyed very near the start and has to sort of find another one and try and rebuild it and develop that. And it sort of plays out exactly how you'd expect, really. And of course, yeah, they clash and then bond and it all goes well. But it's just... It's very likeable, and you do end up caring. And Hugh Jackman is a bit of an arse, but sort of knows it and then comes around a bit. And there's a bit of adversity, and you sort of care about the people they're fighting against. And even though they're just huge hulking machines, there's a tiny implication, because they are meant to be literally just remote controlled robots with a variety of different controlling methods, but they're still just machines hitting each other. There's a very, very faintly implied that the one that they end up really fighting with might have a bit more going on than just being a sort of mindless machine. But then it's not stated, and a little bit is kind of the son just wanting that to be the case. Right. But it's left minimally open-ended. Okay. But yeah, and they're genuine adversity they're sort of fighting against, and it's very much a David and Goliath situation. He's sort of underdog robot that they've patched together from other bits.
But is it like Robot Wars?
Pretty much, except just standing up and punching the hell out of each other. But sort of with various different moves. And the fights are well choreographed, and you can actually see what... It's not like the Transformers films, where it's all generally huge amount of rotating, clashing steel, and it's...
Yes.
An explosion in a junkyard. It's actually, you can see two distinct machines punching and kicking and throwing and trying to do things. Mm. And yeah, I mean, I'm sounding a bit like I'm trying to overselling it slightly, because it is not going to blow your doors off, but it's just a very enjoyable film.
It sounds like Transformers with a heart, really.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, but without... Yeah, I mean, the robots have no personalities, but they all look very different.
Yeah.
And he sort of works up the ranks from just doing a show in a field, essentially, where his robot gets destroyed. And then he manages to get another one, and then that gets destroyed, which is kind of covered in the trailer, but it's expanded on a bit, so you can see, there's a bit more character development there.
Yeah.
And also, we see where he gets the parts to sort of make his third robot more of a contender, because otherwise it would just be a sort of junkyard robot that happens to be quite good. And instead he kind of patches it together with other bits.
Is it based on anything? It sounds like it's like a comic book sort of thing or something, is it?
I vaguely recall at the beginning saying based on something.
Oh, really?
Okay, I think it might be something like based on a Twilight episode or something weird.
Yeah. Twilight Zone, not...
Yes. Which is something online, which presumably is just robot boxing. But, yeah, I mean, it's nothing that special, but it's probably relatively family-friendly as well. And... Yeah, I mean, I went to see it with my relatively cynical ex-flatmate, who I think would normally be quite cynical. Like, oh, father, son, Roger, yeah, fine, we can see it. But he sort of cared as well.
Yeah.
So it's well-executed B-movie, big-budget fare.
Well, good old Hugh.
And, yes, yeah, and Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman keeps it all hanging together.
Yeah.
I think without his charisma and general screen presence, it would be far more B-movie-esque.
And he doesn't sing.
No.
Or
no.
dance.
No, he doesn't sing or dance. He does sort of move around a bit.
Yeah, okay.
Because the main premise of the or their robot is that he can teach it, because it can copy moves and learn from them. So he can teach it. He used to be a boxer, so he can teach it his moves, which gives it an edge. Yeah, so it's heavily charisma based on Hugh Jackman's part. But yeah, it's a good watch.
Yeah.
It's a fun film, actually.
Yeah, well, it did very well, I believe. It did surprisingly well.
Yeah, I think they're
probably
working on a sequel, I imagine. And you could probably do it. Yeah. Well, I don't know, they need to mix things up a bit. But it's a good watch.
Even realer steel.
Yes. Realer Steeler 2.
Maybe.
Yes. And alphabetically similar, but tonally very different.
Probably.
It's Red State.
Yeah, well, this has been out. A lot of these films, of course, we should mention, have been out some time ago.
Well, yes, there's been a lot of films out. We got through a lot, and we can't talk about them all.
And also, a lot of our listeners are all over the world, so sometimes these are films that haven't come out yet over there.
Yes, very true.
Sometimes will never come out over there. And other times people say, that film was out 3 years ago. Why are you reviewing?
Well, maybe someone somewhere has seen The Debt and is thinking, I saw that in 2004.
So, Die Hard 2.
yes. But then also, if you leave it long enough, then the DVDs are out just when people are saying.
So people can go and see it.
So we go and see films in the cinema, so you don't have to.
This was topical once. That's all you need to know. this is Red State, which is, this is actually a film that I don't know when it's released all over the world, because it's...
Yeah, it's been very oddly released, hasn't it?
Yeah, because I think America had it 6 months to a year ago, I think.
Yes, but he only took it around places.
Yeah, well, Kevin Smith famously went to a film festival and showed the film, and at the end of it did the usual thing that they do at the film festival, which is discuss distribution. And he said, I'm going to put it up to auction, so anyone here who wants to distribute my film... let me know now how much you want to do it. And then he quickly put his hand up and said, $1. And then he just said, yes. So he just bargained with himself. And everyone felt a bit cheated and a bit robbed, like, okay, that was an odd publicity stunt, but fair play.
But kind of worked a bit.
Yes, but and then kind of, I think a lot of people therefore wanted him to sort of fail a bit, because they thought that's not the spirit of the film festival. And also, Kevin Smith's recent film fair has been, Cop Out didn't do very well.
No.
And
I think that was the first or only film he directed and didn't write. I think he regretted it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He must have done something between Clarks 2 and Cop Out.
Well, he's done Zack and Miri Make a Porno.
Oh, yeah, which is all right, but...
And, yeah, I mean, even like, things like Jersey Girl. I quite enjoy
Jersey Girl.
But it's got a hard time from the critics.
Yes.
And it was publicly panned and all that, because it was the other film that had Salma Hayek and Ben Affleck in at the time.
Jennifer Lopez,
that's the one.
Yes.
I sound racist now. I just forgot the name. But
I hadn't thought that until you said that.
Now it's not even worse. Anyway, my point is that, Kevin Smith has had a bit of a hard time, box office and critically, lately. Early promise in his career, Clark's Morats and so on, but lately... And so this one, a lot of people wanted him to fail, I think. But it's a return to form. It really is. It's very different. Which is impressive. I think he's actually showing himself off as a more mature filmmaker in a way. Well, certainly compared with his early films, if ever anyone was the moniker immature filmmaker, in a way it was him. He was very technically very good, but all the whole Jay and Silent Bob stuff certainly had its place. We used to watch it countless times. And probably still quote it to this day. But it certainly was never going to set the whole of Hollywood alight.
No, you felt there was more.
Yeah, because he was aiming it at sort of slat teen and 20-something slacker sort of audience, which I was delighted to be a part of.
Exactly.
So thanks, Kevin. We need to talk about Kevin Smith. But this feels like much more of a studio film. It does feel like he's actually... learned some of the techniques a bit, over his time, and it does not look like a Kevin Smith film. It really doesn't. There's a quote which actually made me go and see the film, I think, in a way, from Tarantino saying something about this film is going to knock your socks off, and it's brilliant. And I don't think Quentin Tarantino uses the phrase knock your socks off.
Yeah,
but I do. But that made me go and see it in a way, because I thought Kevin Smith lately been a little bit on the doldrums, but it's a film that looks like a Tarantino film, feels like it. And it's a very interesting subject matter as well, in that it's about a cult, really, who takes control of this area they've been sort of building on for a little bit of time. And it starts off like a teen high school comedy. When I first saw the trailer, and you see these kids discussing about all the girls they're going to go out and and have sex with. And I was thinking, oh, not another of these American Pie type films.
Yeah.
And very quickly see, it's not that at all, because they get kidnapped by the church and they're going to be killed. The church are going to kill them as part of their Sunday service.
Of course, because that's what they all do.
Exactly. I mean, it's, you go, wow, this is unusual. Yes. This is an odd film.
I mean, is the dialogue Kevin Smithian, or is it more serious as well?
It is more serious as well. It's not, there's a few slightly humorous moments if need be, but most of it very black comedy.
Right.
And most of it, it is just, he's making a genre film. He's making a sort of a horror film, really.
Yeah.
And a thriller, and and I think it hangs together pretty well. And it's one that sometimes it's about the Waco cult, and sometimes it's got tinges of the Westboro Baptist Church with their picketing of funerals and that sort of thing. He in fact invited some people from the Westboro Baptist Church to go and see it, and I'm told that what happened is that about five adults came along with about 30 kids, and he said, "Oh no, it's an adult film, it's not for kids." And they said, "No, if we're going to see it, we see it with all of our family and the kids and everything." And okay, but it is, you know, this is going to be rated 18. And apparently they watched about 5 minutes and walked out, and that was it.
It's almost like you should occasionally listen to people.
Maybe so. Maybe so. But at least I think he's actually made a lot of effort with this film to almost reach out to the Westboro Baptist Church people and say, look, I'm not mocking you in this film. We're just doing, you know, it's a film about your sort of area.
Yes.
And they even get a reference in the film as saying, John Goodman plays this this agent in it who says, "Oh no, these guys are far worse than Westboro Baptist Church. These guys have got guns."
Well, yes.
Hopefully that hasn't given Westboro Baptist Church
ideas.
Well,
yeah, it's true.
But
for all their faults, I don't think they've killed anyone.
I don't think so. But but I thought it was actually, apart from the fact that the ending was, quoting his previous film, a cop out.
Right.
It looked like they ran out of money. Looked like the big finale you're envisaging. Suddenly, it just cuts to an explanation of what happened.
Oh.
Just reporting what would have been the big final scene in a way. And and he's apparently, Kevin Smith has said he's hidden sort of 10 or so Easter eggs in the film for his fans to find. And I think I found one of them in that he's done a rather literal version of the Deus Ex Machina kind of thing at the end. But I would say no more than that. But
okay.
He's
intriguing.
Yeah, I think apart from the ending being a little bit of a letdown,
yeah,
I think it's a really good film. And it's certainly not for everyone.
Yeah.
It's dark and it's at times violent.
I mean, on the Saw Hostel scale, is it that sort of bloody or is it less than?
It's less than that. It's not a torture porn type thing. It's just a thriller, really. And my only letdown is Kevin Smith has said he's going to make one more film and that's it.
I think it's called Goon. I wasn't sure that was his last film, but he's made it with Sean William Scott. I think I don't know if it's there are two. I think there is a hockey film with Sean William Scott,
right,
which might be called Goon. And I think Kevin Smith is making a hockey film, which might be in two parts, called something like Fight Someone.
That's right.
Something like that.
That's right. That's his
And I can't remember who's in that. I think there may even have been rumour of it being Sean William Scott as well,
Could
be very different. Yeah. But I can't remember.
Well, it's a shame, because if that is his last film that he's going to do.
I can't think, why would he stop?
He's just getting the hang of it, to be honest. I think he's learned from things like Cop Out and stuff like that, that some of his films aren't too good. And particularly
or maybe just
he
to keep a far tighter rein on
things,
so
I think
he can do everything under his own control and then let it out when he's ready.
Yeah, I think when he goes in with the studios and does it their way, he's not that good at you know, keeping rein on a project. But I think this shows that he's got some, you know, don't leave us, Kevin. Stay.
Stick with us. No, I'll have to see. Been and gone around here. But yeah, DVD central.
Definitely.
And last but not least, very quickly, is Johnny English Reborn, which is a long delayed, well, not even long delayed, but a quite belated sequel to Johnny English, which is based on Rowan Atkinson's character from a credit card advert, maybe one of the thinnest bases for a film ever.
Yeah.
But essentially, he's a semi-bumbling but semi-competent secret agent working for British Secret Service. And it's sort of much like the first one in that it's all right, but there are some. There's especially one gag which had me properly laughing, which I won't try and relate. And it may well not tickle other people the same way it tickled me. But it's when they're about to, they get a bit of mileage out of him, having been out of the service for a while, comes back in. Various gadgets have changed and don't quite work the way he expects them to, or things that look like something he used to use and now do something else entirely. And when they're about to climb a rope, the gadget he uses, what it does, just made me laugh a lot. But, it's a good supporting cast, and it's him I mean, yeah, it largely relies on your goodwill towards Rowan Atkinson. It's still not him at his best.
No.
The script doesn't do him justice. Did you see this?
No, I haven't seen it, but I've seen the trailer and I've read a few reviews.
Yeah,
and just seeing generally, like, he's, you know, Johnny English, the first one, and then the two Bean films, you kind of think it's almost a shame in a way that Richard Curtis just doesn't write everything he does.
I know. We need essentially a character as good as Blackadder to be in a film with Rowan. Because he can still do it. There's still signs of it, but the script just wasn't really
there. Just feel that this could be, like, you know, he's as good a physical performer as anyone since Chaplin. What, you know, it's a shame that the film doesn't quite reflect every good thing he can do.
But, I mean, there are a couple of nice ideas. And there, I mean, there's a good sort of helicopter chase sequence where they lose their navigation and have to make do with something else. And also chasing, because he gets told by a wise man to use your age instead of you're no longer young, so use with wisdom. And he's chasing a guy who's sort of leaping and jumping all over the place, and Rowan Atkinson essentially just works out, all right, I can just take the lift and I'll catch him at the bottom, and things like that. So, I mean, there are moments that are good, and it's watchable and likeable enough, and it is a family film. I think a couple of people I've seen writing up saying it's quite unusual to be, I think it may be PG rated, and it's genuinely a family film where the adults will laugh at certain bits, children will laugh at certain bits, and everyone can go and enjoy it, rather than just being a kids' film that adults can tolerate or similar. So it's got that going for it. But, yeah, I mean, just very low expectations, maybe. But it was likeable. I laughed a couple of times. But, just manage your expectations.
They'll probably do a third one.
Well, quite possibly.
Who knows?
But, yes, right, so that's got...
Good. Well, a fairly brief one. We haven't got gender distract us and
Very true.
Bring us off on to different tangents. Yes.
Paul is about to be summoned.
I'm about to be summoned, so I better go.
Fair enough. Yes, I think that's a lot. We were going to do...
Desert Island Flicks.
Yes,
Kevin Smith. Mallrats.
And, I'd probably go Clarks or Dogma. Let's say Dogma.
Okay, it'll be different. Yeah, why not? Yeah,
anyway.
Very good.
Right, so that's a lot.
Yeah, okay.
But I love them all. Anyway.
Very good.
See you next time.
Ta-ra!
Bye!
Bye.